You have to be sharp.
Okay, we got a call coming in. Hold on a second here. Good morning. This is Repic Radio.
This is Kenny Perdue calling in, sir.
Hey, Kenny, it's good to hear from you. We got Stuart Acuff here on the line.
Hey, Kenny, how are you?
And our buddy Mike.
Okay. Good morning, Stuart.
Hey, can you hear me okay this time, Kenny?
Yes, I can. You're crisp and clear.
Okay. All right, Kenny, I'm going to just open it up with you. I've been talking long enough, and I know you have some things, I'm sure, to say following up this very difficult election. Go ahead. I've been waiting to hear from you, pal, to be truthful.
Well, I don't know. What did you say, John?
Well, I just I did not think. I've been trying to say my mistakes. That's what I've been trying to say, Brother Perdue, that I did not think that the country would elect a
fascist
creep to the presidency of the United States. And even though I didn't think that, even though I thought there were weaknesses in the Clinton campaign and in my house visits that I did, mainly for Sammy Brown, okay, but we did about 70 houses. And, you know, I did detect door-to-door a lot of we were mostly canvassing Democrats, right? And there was a lot of anti-Trump sentiment here in Jefferson County, but I only ran into one person in the thing that, as far as Hillary went, said, I love her. And the rest was, well, you know, she might be, you know, not entirely clean. And, you know, all the criminalization propaganda, all that stuff, right? And but I said, I know, I believe the polls. You know, I thought that it was a joke that the guy, I thought the best arguments against voting for Trump were his own speeches. You know, I underestimated, you know, exactly that West Virginia is not that unlike the rest of the country. In some ways, okay? People were saying we were an outlier, but it turned out not so much.
Right.
And I'm terribly upset about it. The cost is just going to be, I mean, and everything that's happened since the election, everything he said, his appointments, I'm almost speechless with apprehension about it. So that's about what I've been saying.
Let me say this, and you know you like a whole lot of people. Let me just first start with the state election. As you know, Stuart, probably we put a lot of time and energy in this state election to retain or regain the Senate.
Absolutely,
and have an impact in the House. And during this whole time, we were confident. We were very strategic in what we did.
Yeah,
we were very specific about where we spent money, and we were able to raise money amongst some of our friends with the trial lawyers, other lawyers, and as well as the labor movement. And I think that we had a heck of an impact into it. But
we
know the voters in this state, they really liked Jim Justice. He was not political.
Yep.
He was a real person that people could really grow to appreciate. We paid attention to him. He had successes. You know, you don't get to be a billionaire by not having successes. And he was fair to his workers. It proved it to Greenbrier, as well as mining operations in southern West Virginia.
And he proved he had compassion.
Yes, he did.
After
he had very much passion. I mean, I was with him quite a bit, and I listened to a lot of different stories that you can listen to him. That's, you know, judge me by my deeds.
Right.
And, you know, his deeds were justified to pay attention to that he has had success. And on the other hand of it, our mission was to ensure that Bill Cole was not elected governor of this great state of West Virginia.
Right.
And I would call that a huge success.
Okay. Absolutely a huge success.
And Jim Justice won 7 points.
And you are to be... You are to be congratulated for that huge success, Kenny. The trade union movement led by you had an awful lot to do with that big success.
Well, I think also, Kenny, the local elections here, our candidates, you know, a bunch of them did very, very well. Okay. I mean, some of the contests were very close. Okay. But I have to agree with what Stewart's analysis has been is that, you know, the Trump effect basically, you know, killed at least three of our leading candidates. Okay.
Right.
And I think that your talking about Jim. Jim Justice, okay, had a positive impression. He actually went out and did something that helped people's lives, okay? And I think the presidential campaign on the Democratic side got sidetracked into Trump is unfit, you know, rather than focusing on what every union organizer should know, you know, is that you got to make the, you know, your protect your pensions, your wages, your health care, you know, your quality of life, and
improve it.
And we're going to work to improve it. So stay on that message rather than getting off the so and so is unfit, okay? Because they just opened the door and had the FBI director helping them out there to make it look like, you know, she was also unfit. And so people, you know, I mean, I think that was a strategic difficulty, error,
blunder,
you know, in the national campaign that just rolled us over. Because, I mean, Rod Snyder lost by under 100 votes.
Wow.
Sammy
hard.
Brown, I think Sammy Brown lost only by, well, but a couple of hundred votes, you know. I
that
think it was and the guy that, and the woman that was running against Householder almost beat him. Bobby and would have beat him if it had not been for the Trump effect, I think. You
and
know,
friends and neighbors, 100 votes is basically 10 heads of household between the family members in that household and their friends. You can swing 100 or 200, you can swing 200 votes with 20 heads of household. 20 individuals can swing those elections.
May I point something out, John?
And yes, go ahead.
And Kenny, thank you so much for all the work that you do. It's Mike Diesel here. I just wanted to point something out as well. Listen, we have to also realize that this is a post-voting rights national election, the first one. And I'll give the Republicans a lot of credit for being very strategic in terms of looking at the competitive states and running algorithms to purge voter rolls. They have purged voter rolls. They have, this is, you know, there's a lot of problems I have with this, with the Democrats in terms of their national campaign, a lot of problems. John, you and I and Stuart have discussed that ad nauseum. However, that does not take away from the fact that we have to become more diligent in terms of looking at exactly what we can do to correct this horrific mistake. And I know it's going to take forever, and I know it's a heavy lift, but we've got to get our ass moving to do that, to get that done.
All right, Kenny, on that question, I know you've been thinking about this, it's only been a week, but what do you view as the road ahead here at all? How can Jim Justice's leadership, for example, what impact do you think it can have since both houses of the legislature are now Republican-controlled?
Well, let me add to something. We, you know, we had three open seats in the Senate races, which with Stephen Skinner being one of them,
yep,
which made it difficult. You didn't have incumbents. We did lose Bob Williams, but, you know, we beat Chris Walters with the hard-fought campaign,
mm-hmm, okay,
which was a huge victory. We almost beat Mitch Carmichael in that. Brian Prim come extremely close, but I listened to what you guys said. I'm still not really a person that's going to say a lot because I really don't know a lot of what happened.
Yeah, okay.
But Stuart said it. I heard it again. The Trump effect had a huge effect on the people that voted. You know, you had Democrats that responded were going to vote. You had Republicans that responded were going to vote. But there was a huge number of people that almost say neither side touched base with that are angry as hell.
That's right.
The people that haven't voted, they're not historical voters. They're voters that vote maybe once every election, maybe every national election, maybe only in the general.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they haven't voted because we had big numbers of people register to vote for the first time. Plus you had people that it was over 218,000. I believe 212 actually voted early. The others were the other 6,000, I believe, were absentee ballots,
mm-hmm,
that voted early, and that's a huge number for this state. But then when it got into the election, the number did die down. So did the Democrats not vote? Did the Republicans come out strong? I don't know. But this,
yeah,
Trump effect, people are angry as hell about what is and is not happening. You know, it's easy for them to blame somebody like a Hillary Clinton. It was easy,
yeah,
to do that.
Yeah.
Very easy to do that. And then you talk about the FBI having an effect into it.
Yeah.
And it was quite alarming that how a federal organization got involved in this election and could very well be that recognized as the single biggest piece of it that took Hillary Clinton down.
I think as far now, as, yeah.
Was Hillary the best candidate? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know that she was. Donald Trump has got flaws that,
yeah.
You can see the people that he's picking his cabinet. You know, you pick a person that's closer to white supremacists than you.
Yeah.
Others. You know, there's problems in the future, and he's got a heck of a task ahead of him to try to calm his country down. That you know, we're actually as angry here as they are in other countries. We just don't go to war like they are in Iran and Syria.
Well, the history of people like Trump, you know, and is that they move very quickly to get involved militarily, usually, or to set up some repressive apparatus that keeps all their coalition in line. I noticed he threatened Harry Reid right off, and so I don't know. I don't think you. I think he's gonna. Excuse me, I've had this cold. I got it from Stuart. I fear that we're going to have to resist somehow dramatically to stop him. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, it's going to take a lot of discussion with people out there. And I've run into, talked to a lot of people, friends, that they were, there wasn't, you didn't hear a tremendous amount of anger out there in the voters when they went door to door. But also in that, I think that there was a group of people that was missed in this conversation when it comes into how do we talk to them and what do we say to them?
That's right.
But they came out to vote. Obviously they did, and they said their piece, and you know, they didn't. President-elect Trump did not win the majority vote.
No. Nope.
But the Electoral College said that he is going to be president, and we've got him for 4 years, and you know, even with George W. Bush, he is the president, and he is my president. I'm not going to out there and say that, but we will be watching, and hopefully he doesn't try to break down standards for workers. Hopefully he doesn't try to destroy the economy in this, and does accomplish some of the promises that he made about bringing back jobs. You know, that's a huge.
I know he said,
bring back jobs.
Yeah.
Especially when you got companies that are saying, we're not coming here. We're going to stay over in China, India, sure. Philippines, Japan. That's where we're going to do our business at, and we're going to ship it back. So
yeah.
He's going to have to show his ruffle the feathers a little bit. And
right. Although I heard Senator McConnell didn't, you know, he was commenting on, you know, Trump's promise about infrastructure jobs, and he said, well, that wasn't on his list.
Certainly not on my I have to kick back. I've not had a many discussions with that's not really on the
well, thank you, Senator McConnell. Okay.
Well, can I push back against something really quickly?
Yeah,
quickly. And I know
go
Kenny
ahead.
Can't be involved in this.
What?
He can't say this.
Well,
but
what?
I will.
What?
I'm sorry, Kenny. I beg to differ with you. He is not ever going. I will not recognize this man as my president. Forgive me, but I will not. I won't do it.
All right. Okay, Mike. All right. Anyway, well, let's, what about the now? The immediate questions on West Virginia is we still have the right to work, which I think is held up in court. Right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Even though there may be
in court, it'll be heard before the judge on December 2nd.
And so. And then the prevailing wage, what's the status of that actually in terms of the real impact yet? Is that what have you heard on that? What's real actually, where's that going?
Well, you know, the real impact is that there's going to be companies come in from out of state, and they're going to work very hard to get these jobs. And because they know what the wages are that the union trade companies that they bid at, they're going to underbid them. And I think the prime, you can say what you want to about the Crum Elementary School in Wayne County, but it is a sign of what's going to happen for the people that don't think so. Just watch and see, and you're going to get poor quality work. But the Crum School Slope, who it just happened that Chandler Slope got elected to the Senate. Pat him on the back for coming in and bringing illegals in. Now he's one of our state senators. And
yeah.
So they brought illegals in from Honduras and Mexico in to do the job.
Right.
You know, so that's the ugly side. There's still the ugly side. There's a poor school being built they're going to have to go in and do some rework because they did poor construction. And that's exactly what happens when you bring them in. They're not trained like the building and trades people are. And they bring in where they don't pay taxes. So you don't get much out of them. And your person that does make a good wage, good hourly rate, is going to lose work. They're going to lose their job. And eventually they're going to look for something else, because it's like when the steel industry and the chemical plants close, people go elsewhere to work because they got to feed their family.
Sure. It's
a shame that the Bill Coles of this world chose to do that so they could eliminate a class of people, you know, small state, 1.8 million, and they're doing their damnedest to eliminate a class of people. Now, prevailing wage is abolished. It is gone. The only way you can be brought back is through the legislature. And, you know, it's
not going to happen.
It's going to be some tough times for union building and trades and others that bid these projects that choose to play fair.
So, Kenny, your neighbors, our neighbors here in West Virginia, are going to have to leave their families and travel for work. That's what happens when you eliminate prevailing wage. It is hell on working people's families. Hell on working people's families.
I heard that. Hey, Kenny, so let's look at the legislative session starts in January, right?
It'll open up in January, but it is set back a month because of the governor's election. So actually the sessions won't start until February.
Okay, so I think I heard the other day that we're already running another deficit. What's the deficit projection at this point? Do you have any numbers on that? Or
there was another $82 million, I believe, and the governor just issued a $2. I wish that's all it was, but a 2% cut across the board. The hiring freeze stayed on. Certain agencies which are going to be affected, and I didn't read it all, but it's going to have an effect, another 2%, which you're talking about. You know, we're getting into the crux of it. There's going to be families that are going to be affected there because we're going to start losing jobs in the state and state government.
Right.
You're getting down that far.
Right.
And there's not really, you know, there is, but the total picture is not good news in the future. But as Jim Justice said during the campaign, the price of coal is rising, so that's going to make it good to where with the coal prices going up, that means that mines should open back up. They should be able to sell more coal. One coal is higher than the other. I don't know if it's met coal or which one it is. I don't recall, but the price is up to where they can start selling more coal. It's a guessing game at this point, but the immediate effect is there's going to be services are going to be hampered by the effects of what's happening right now.
I just read an article this morning in the that's the Martinsburg Journal that indicated there's going to be a $700,000 already shortfall in the education budget for Berkeley County.
And that's going to happen in all 55 counties.
Oh, God. Oh, yep.
You got Boone County, who had an early effect because they lost the severance tax on coal, who in the process were, they decided to terminate employees and they were about to cut benefits. And, you know, they're getting into where you're starting to get the parents fighting between each other and the students aren't getting services as the parents and the employees are fighting over their jobs. They are now talking about in Boone County of closing schools and moving kids into other schools, which means that they're not going to have any more teachers because you can only have so many teachers in a building. There may be teachers lose their job, but they're going to the kids are going to be in a more crowded room than they've ever been into.
So smaller ratio of teachers to students, right? I mean,
yes, sir.
Yeah, okay,
yes.
And well, I mean, I don't know.
That exacerbates all these problems, because when you cut education, when you increase the class size, number of students in a class, when you eliminate school buildings, when you eliminate the ability of teachers to teach to the whole class, but also to teach to individuals, either at the higher end of the deal or at the lower end of the deal, you are condemning your state's future and its ability to compete economically with the other states in the union. It is a real short-sighted, ignorant way to govern.
I would say also with Jim Justice, who I think is the real deal and will work very hard. He has a lot of success, has had a lot of success in bringing business with businesses, make himself a billionaire. I mean, you don't do that by accident.
Right.
Unless you inherit it. He didn't inherit it. He did it himself. But Jim Justice is, he's got on the one good side that he says that he can bring business in. A lot of what he can do about bringing businesses does not take legislative action. So they're not going to be there to interfere with what or shut him down, as they don't think that's the vision for the state.
Now, do you think,
are things he's going to have done that may, you know, I'm not going to say he's going to raise taxes. He said he wasn't, so that's up to Jim Justice what he's going to do.
Right.
But if he comes in and we're going to make a change somewhere, it's going to go to the legislature. And I will say this with the leadership that's in there. I am. We will be watching ever so quickly, alertly, and diligently as to how they look at this state and whether they want to make change in this state. And if they think that they've got a mandate, well, the mandate is about making West Virginia better.
Right.
And if they're not going to try to make it better, we got a problem on our hands, and the governor will have a problem on his hands in making this state better. So they could stop all the progress that he's making, I would say, pretty
well. Now, let me ask you a question about Jim, you know, sort of politically, because I don't know that much about him. One question I have is, now, if he could deploy, you know, like politically, make the same kind of impression on the program things that he would like to do that he did in the state during the election, then he might be able to, you know, maybe peel off a couple of the Republicans to support something reasonable. I mean, does he have that? You think he might have that kind of weight behind him to be able to do that? Or is it just going to be
an unfortunate term, Josh?
I'm sorry. I apologize. All right. Yes, you're right, Mike. Okay. You know what I mean? Political heft. Let's put it that way. You think he might be able to turn some votes too? Or is do we know enough about him yet to be able to figure that out? Maybe not.
he's fully capable. Believe me, he can be a one-on-one person as good as anybody and better than most.
Oh, okay.
He will go and talk. He will have conversation with you.
Well,
if you decide you're not going to be out there to support him, I think you understand what he's going to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to leave any doubt in their mind.
And I think your relationship, Kenny, with the incoming governor, Jim Justice, is so important, because if you're there next to him, helping him prioritize his agenda, and then making sure that agenda involves improving the quality of life for West Virginians, you can mobilize a heck of a lot of grassroots lobbying activity amongst trade unionists. I was a lobbyist for a long time in Georgia, and I can tell you 200 calls in a day to a state legislator is a big deal. And about the only institution that can make that happen is the trade union movement, because we have members, we have infrastructure, We have networks, and we have our members are politically savvy and legislatively savvy.
Hey, you know,
and that's,
go ahead.
Go ahead. I'd say this to something I just thought of that has already been said from some Republicans that won. And, you know, we do support Republicans. We just want somebody to support working people. But the comment was made already that labor is gone in West Virginia. I will say this, and you guys, I know you back me up, that to think that an organization is gone, just do the things that you think you what you have to do to make the state worse.
Right.
And you will quickly hear from the organization that is gone.
I hope it might be worthwhile.
Can I mention some federal breaking news?
Yes, what is that?
In an interview last night on Fox News, the incoming immigration coordinator for the Trump transition team has said quite specifically that the registry for Muslims will look very much like the Japanese internment camps.
What?
He has said that out loud on television.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, these inflammatory statements, in my view, are... you know, I don't know. That bothers me. All that does, if any of that stuff ever comes to pass, you know, and you start imprisoning people, I mean, you're going to start a war with somebody immediately. Yeah. I just don't understand that what the thinking there really is. Other than we need to have some. See, that's what that tip off to me is. What is this thing about how, oh, we're going to start some kind of coercive, repressive program on this one and that one and another one, to distract everybody from the fact that, you know, all the stuff we said about, you know, saving jobs was BS. Or you know, I mean, that's what I fear, is that there's going to be this big, oh, well, we'll have to wait for the infrastructure program until we throw out 10 million immigrants or something.
Yeah,
like
we got to clean this mess up. Everything's a disaster, so we got to clean it up. It's a disaster.
I fear that repressive apparatus getting started.
Sure.
So anyway, I hope that we...
back to Kenny's point.
Yeah, back to Kenny's point.
Which I think is very important. The assault on labor and the rights of working women and men to organize for self-protection and the an increase in their quality of life is an assault on democracy. And that's why the labor movement has survived all kinds of assaults since the beginning of its...
Existence,
you know, 150 years ago. And we will survive this one. We may be weakened, but we will survive it and be in a position to rebuild.
All right, Kenny. Well, I'm going to let you close up because we're almost at 8:30 here. And I want to make sure that when I podcast this, we're at about 30 minutes, because I've learned through life that people don't listen to podcasts over 30 minutes.
to Stewart's point, we will come back. It's not going to be easy, but, you know, the labor movement was built on strife and fights and actions and protests because ruthless companies decided they were going to put coal miners in houses and give them script.
Instead, you know, of money.
These people out there now that probably voted for Trump that don't believe in labor movement will soon see when... They specifically said that with the entitlement programs, they like the word privatization. And privatization means a business that is going out there to make profits. So when they make profits, that means the benefits are less. So there will be a lot of people, maybe not us guys, but there's going to be a lot of people that's going to suffer through these tough times if they start doing those things. And
that's for sure.
Think of bringing in a guy that is associated with or part of the KKK is a sad time in this country. We've always went through everything and the fights that we've done to make life better for all people.
That's right. All right. Kenny.
Well said. And I want to thank you so much for calling in today, and I'm going to podcast this one. Okay. So you guys can have links to it if you want to use it, reuse it and everything like that. So,
thank you so much, Kenny.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
All right, take care.
Have a good day.
All right.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right. So that... there, he's gone. Well, that was Kenny Perdue. And
wise man. A good and wise man.
I have a have a poem I want to read to close off this section. I'm going to include this in the podcast. This is from Bertolt Brecht, one of my favorite poets of all time.
Not to mention playwright.
Playwright, but a great anti-fascist poet and a very pro-labor guy. Slave, who is it that shall free you? Those in deepest darkness lying. Comrades, only these, the starving, can see you. Only they can hear you crying. Comrade, only slaves can free you. Everything or nothing, all of us or none. One alone, his lot cannot better. Choose the gun or choose the fetter. Everything or nothing, all of us or one. You who hunger, who shall feed you? If it's bread you would be carving, come to us, because we too are starving. Come to us and let us lead you. Only hungry men can feed you. Everything or nothing, all of us or none. One alone, his lot can't better. Choose the gun or choose the fetter. Everything or nothing, all of us or none. Beaten man, who shall avenge you? You on whom the blows are falling, hear your wounded brothers calling. Weakness gives us strength to lend you. Come to us, and we shall avenge you. Everything or nothing, all of us or none. One alone, his lot cannot better. Choose the gun or choose the fetter. Everything or nothing, all of us or none. Who, O wretched one, shall dare it? He who can no longer bear it. Counts the blows that arm his spirit, taught the time by need and sorrow, strikes today and not tomorrow. Everything or nothing, all of us or none. One alone, his lot can't better. Choose the gun or choose the fetter. Everything or nothing, all of us or none. Written in 1937 by Bertolt Brecht. And we'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
As, you know, as, good our sponsor, good people everywhere.
Get it back to little Leon Russell here, and we'll be right back.